Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hi, this is Nick Anastasio, story editor on Star Wars The Clone Wars and Star Wars Bad Batch. And you are listening to Aggressive Negotiations.
Hello and welcome to Aggressive Negotiations, your home for all things Star Wars as we come at you from the deep space as we try to just get away from everything. You know, it's the holiday season, and sometimes you've just got to get away. And so I'm so excited to have him with me on this journey, as he is every single week, the one and only most relaxed Jedi Master, John Mills.
Oh, I don't know if I'm the most relaxed, but I did enjoy my Life Day cruise. It was a good time. We stopped off at the sunny shores of Kashyyyk, almost got eaten by some things that lived around a Rosher tree. You know, it was a good time. Had by all.
Well, I'm excited that you had a wonderful time, and it's just good to have you back. Hopefully everybody enjoyed things, Gungan, and we'd really appreciate it if you gave us a gift this year and just subscribed wherever you're getting your podcasts. I'll make sure you get the show as soon as it drops, and we would also love it if you would follow us over on social media at the Jedi Masters, which is our Twitter handle for the show. Of course, we've got the entire network at Join Nerd Party. You can also find us on Instagram at The Nerd Party. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/The Nerd Party. We're online at TheNerdParty.com, where you can see all of the shows that we're doing here. And, you know, if you'd really like to bless us over this holiday season, you know, getting a review on Apple Podcasts would be fantastic. And we will read that out on the show, and thank you for your kind review. But John, you know, I'm very excited to be returning to our Bad Batch commentary series as we're going to be talking about the fourth episode called Cornered. And so everybody knows what to do. We're going to give you a countdown. 3, 2, 1, play. And then you'll hit on play, and we'll all be in the same spot. So, without further ado, 3, 2, 1, play.
All right. Here we go. That Lucasfilm Limited logo. There we go. There we go. Coming on in. It's come to mean so much lately to have that Lucasfilm logo. And
In light of Tales of the Jedi and Andor. Yeah. And, of course, the Bad Batch coming out next year in January. So
early 2023. Can't wait for it. Can't wait. That's going to be exciting stuff.
I always love this beginning where it's just like, it reminds me of, you remember when The Lion King, you know, the first song ends and it just goes, The Lion King? Yeah. Oh, I love how this does the same thing.
And I love how this episode opens with that absolutely gorgeous beauty pass of their ship. Oh my gosh. What lighting in that shot.
Yes. Well, and I think this first scene too, it even in their ship, you can just tell how much the lighting has progressed when you, I mean, how cinematic is this lighting?
Yeah, very much. Very much. And you know, I mean, we've sung a lot of praises, but this specific shot right here where they're all gathered around the control panel and we're over, you know, we're over on the side, is there's a real use of perspective that that gives it a realistic depth that is, that really shows where the state of animation has come over the years, is there's a real sense of environment. That's what really sells this show and shows like it, is the environment feels real. You can have stylized characters, but if that environment feels real, it's that one less ask of your brain and you get even deeper into the world that they're creating.
I also love, you know, fun that we're going to go back to Pantora, which, you know, we've never been to Pantora itself. We've been to their moon, which is where you get the wonderful ice and snow episode in the Clone Wars. So this is really fun to actually visit a planet that we've never been to before. And I also just kind of love how excited Omega is to visit this place. Like, she's just like, ah, oh, Pantora. Like, just another place I've never been.
Right. She doesn't want to hide. She wants to go somewhere and explore the world. And we have, as they're here in the space dock, this is very important. This is, and the thing is, we'll find an echo of this in The Mandalorian,
mm-hmm.
of the yeah. the surly, everyday person who works in the spaceport, who's like, you know, hey, and those real-world interactions. And, of course, you know, Wrecker with his very charming personality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And but it's what I love is how the design of a spaceport on a planet is a consistent sort of thing. It's a pit.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes a lot of sense that it would be that pit-like sort of thing, circular, so that it could accommodate weird angles on ships. It's not your typical sort of tight glove fit. It looks like a universal yeah. port that people could come into. And it also speaks to the fact that ships all land with that graceful downward mm-hmm. thing. They're not flying in yes. like an airplane.
Yeah. I also really love this episode because it's one of the first times in which, you know, we see the clones having to learn how the real world works. Oh, and our first introduction to Fennec Shand.
Which is so cool.
Yeah.
Like, coming back to this episode after Book of Boba Fett and Mandalorian and everything, like, this is that whole thing of building a universe piece by piece, and you can tell the story out of order,
mm-hmm.
but so long as you tell it right, it all works. It all works very well.
Well, and I think, you know, it goes to the fact that, you know, with the bounty hunters, they kind of transcend time in the series in the sense that, mm-hmm. you know, they're not a part of the normal flow of these stories. They're on the outskirts, that, you know, they're on the periphery. And so you can have them show up at different time periods because they're more likely to be there because their whole deal is survival.
Now, as we get different outfits, I love the outfit that Tech has. I think that is tremendous design mm-hmm. that he has here. This is the sort of thing that blends in. It's like, oh, just another weird look. Is that a droid? Whatever, you know. That's the sort of thing I would expect in a spaceport where at a glance you can't tell friend or foe or machine or living or what have you.
Well, and, you know, the other thing that this episode I think does is it does a great job of showing just how dangerous the world is for these Bad Batch characters, and the fact that, you know, they're wanted everywhere. They're wanted by the Empire. They're wanted by bounty hunters. And so this episode being the fourth already, we're seeing just how dangerous this is going to be for them to try and keep her safe.
I just want to say that there are certain things that are weird. You know, we have here, you know, you can exchange your invalid credits for Imperial currency
mm-hmm.
by having your chain code. You're not forcing anybody to do anything. You don't have to participate.
Right.
We're not telling you have to get a chain code. You just won't be able to spend money.
Exactly.
Okay. You're making a choice. That's okay. You see, we haven't taken away your freedom of choice. Mm-hmm. You just do whatever. And then also the added context of how we're starting to talk about, you know, central bank digital currencies now.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to understand there is a certain factor of that tugs at, I don't know, you know, at those of us who are like, well, wait a minute, what safeguards do we have to make sure we're not getting screwed in this process?
Wait, what do you mean I can't use cash here?
Right.
Hmm.
Yeah. You know, well, you know, I mean, but again, it's Star Wars doing what Star Wars does. It's not taking a position on it. It's just putting it out there. And here we are talking about it because it's like, okay, well, what are our pros mm-hmm. and cons here? What are we talking about? I'm running a reputable business here. And we see basically Stormtrooper dolls the way that Jyn Erso has. Mm-hmm. Erso has.
Yep. And, of course, that you can buy at Galaxy's Edge.
That's very true. And for some weird reason, you can also buy Kylo Ren dolls.
Mm, yes, he's so. Real popular with the kids in that time period.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Wouldn't that be Kylo Ren's nursery rhymes or something
yes.
like that? That would be.
Yes. Yeah. Mm. The Dark Tales.
Yeah. Ooh, like DuckTales.
Yeah,
so there
Dark
you go.
Tales.
There's your
yeah.
Disney synergy there right go. There. Dark Tales.
Absolutely. I love that they're going to sell him to get the credits.
Yeah. But even that, that's I'm worth more than 2,000. This is classic Star Wars humor where it's mm-hmm. it's like, yeah, fine. Let's set aside the ethical problems here. I'm worth more than that. What are you selling
right.
me just for that
exactly.
much for? You know, I feel a little undervalued here.
Well, but I also do think this does a great job of just showing the dangerous and precarious position that they're in. They don't have a ton of choices, you know, and mainly too because they can't get chain codes, you know, so they have very few ways to make money.
And I can also tell you as a parent, the idea of your kid running off because, oh no, my mm-hmm. stormtrooper toy got taken and because the dog took it without thinking, just taking off. That's a very relatable thing. Not that my kids have done it, but that's the fear in the back of your head all the time. Mm-hmm. As I turned around, wait, where's my kid? Where's my kid? This taps into a yeah. very primal and true fear that every parent has, every single one.
Well, and I would be interested as we move through these episodes, if in every episode you don't see some new parenting fear happen for
yeah, that's true.
Especially Hunter with Omega. Because they're learning what it means to be a parent along with, you know, Omega learning to be what it means to be like a daughter to somebody.
I do want to say, additionally, with the modeling, is we've been fortunate enough to get figures that look like they're animated versions.
Mm-hmm.
I would like a Fennec Shand that looks like more like the animated version than the Book of Boba Fett or Mandalorian version.
Oh,
I like the way that the character is modeled here.
And I think they should do a Black series where, you know, for the Clone Wars and the Bad Batch and Rebels, where mm-hmm. they do look like the animated versions more so than, you know, like a live action version. So great with these droids.
I love the fact that 3PO droids are all the same. It's like they all have, you know, their unique personalities and stuff like that, but they're all, you know, prissy bitty busybodies.
Yes.
Like that's the one programming aspect that is the same on all 3PO droids. And you have to sit there and ask yourself, why would somebody make a droid like this? This is like, this would annoy the living heck out of me.
No, I totally agree. What's interesting too, about Fennec Shand as a character here as well, is how she approaches her job as compared to like other bounty hunters might, right? You know, she approaches this as being kind and like, you know, mm-hmm. helping Omega out and, you know, caring about whether or not she's hungry. And, you know, and I appreciate that we add that kind of nuance and layering specifically too, because, you know, she is a female, you know, and therefore has mm-hmm. other priorities and maybe just has a better understanding of, you know, what kids might want than some gruff dude who's never been around kids at all, you know. And I just appreciate they thought about this with Fennec Shand, that, you know, she doesn't just take Omega, you know, she tries to make herself trustworthy to her. Which is just a great way to set her apart from other, you know, bounty hunters that we've seen, like Cad Bane, who would absolutely just have wrapped Omega up and, you know,
and just flown
exactly.
off. Yeah. Well, setting aside all other wonderful design elements here, including the costuming that, again, is very evocative of earlier Star Wars production paintings and stuff like that. And even this street that they're walking down, very evocative of the early production stuff that, you know, Macquarie and company did.
Mm-hmm.
But on top of all of that, I got to ask you point blank here. one of your complaints about Kenobi mm-hmm. was that the street bazaar that we get exposed to doesn't look populated enough.
Right.
Do you feel that this one is populated enough for your liking? And if, like, how do you mm-hmm. make that threshold? I would argue yeah. with, if you had this super crowded in animation, it becomes very visually, it's too dense. Mm-hmm. You need right. to be able to see everything that's going on without confusing the eye. But, you know, do you feel that this is a busy enough spaceport?
So I think the beauty of this is that you can compare the scene during the afternoon and then now in mm-hmm. the evening, and the pace has slowed mm-hmm. down in the market. So they're paying attention to that. So at the beginning there, when they first got to the spaceport and Hunter and Omega are walking around, it is much busier. And now with that standoff in the street between Fennec Shand and Hunter, there are a lot less people because it's evening time. It's probably around dinner, you know? And so, like, they've really thought about that type of thing in this show. And so, mm-hmm. no, I think it's wonderfully done. The lighting is great. In fact, it also kind of reminds me of Dio on Kenobi. And yet here, it just feels like, obviously, animation, they don't have to worry about all the other stuff, and they've done a really good job of making it feel very real.
I love the fact that Tech, when he's trying to get out of here, appeals to the droid's motivation. You'll be back in charge if you help me. Oh, I mean, I got to be able to take the restraining bolt off. Yeah, I'll do that. It's like, oh, hey, you know, but he's not forcing the droid. He's not shooting the droid. He's not threatening the droid. He's actually saying to the droid, you'll get what you want if you do this.
Yeah.
There's an actual negotiation going on. And I think that's one of those things where when you look at the difference between, say, Luke and an Imperial or something like that, is Luke talks to the droids as if they are sentients.
Mm-hmm.
He treats them with a certain amount of respect that somebody else who views them as tools does not.
Right.
And so Tech slides into that role, that there's this humanity about everybody on the right side of things, that's one of their instant tells, is they could be mean, they could be forceful, but they choose to be kind.
Yeah, which I love you saying that, because you know it flows straight from the fact that that's what Anakin did too, which was one of his redeeming qualities, right? Is seeing mm-hmm. the droids as more than just a tool.
I love that shot. I love that shot of Wrecker coming out of the shadows. It's a beautiful reveal. It really, mm-hmm. really is. And I also love the fact that it's Wrecker that saves her, because I love Wrecker, and I think he's the fun dad. He's the playful dad. He's
yeah,
the kid
he's
dad.
He's the uncle.
You know? Yeah, you know, but he's like, every kid would want to hang around with Wrecker
mm-hmm.
because he's super affectionate and loving. He wears his heart on his sleeve. Kids don't appreciate layering and subterfuge. They want to know where they stand, and you'll never not know where you stand with mm-hmm. Wrecker.
Right.
And I'll give them credit. We've already established that Wrecker is super tough and super great, and having Fennec Shand take care of him that way, that's an appropriate use of the super tough character as the opportunity to introduce how this character is a smarter fighter in one,
right.
one moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are times where, you know, shows do that and it doesn't work, but we spent the time with Wrecker up to this point that we respect him. It's not like, you know, forgive me for using this, but like Worf never really got a chance to shine. Worf was simply, this is a Klingon. And yeah, you know, on the Next Generation is like, look, it's a Klingon. You know, they're supposed to be tough. We're just going to kick his butt every couple of episodes. And that way, you know, the other guy's tough. And it's like, well, I never got a chance to see Worf be tough. For all I know, he's a complete wimp, you know, whereas we've seen Wrecker be super tough. And so she doesn't outbrood him. She's mm-hmm. just a smarter fighter. Yeah.
You know, what's interesting too about the design of this city here in Pandora is that, you know, it actually has some Batu feelings to it, like with some of the parts of the city kind of feel like places that you walk in Batu, which is kind of nice. But I love the design of the city because it has little pieces of a lot of different places that we've been in Star Wars kind of all mashed together in a way that feels familiar and new all at the same time.
Well, I would say that actually what really makes this work is the layering of the city. The city has levels to it, as a city should. And I think that's really, I mean, this even answers, well, are the street, you know, is the thoroughfare crowded enough? Well, all the traffic's up top. Mm-hmm. So, it, you know, right. We've got layers. Where is everybody down here? Well, everybody's actually up there at this time of day driving to and from home and work and stuff like that.
And it's funny because there is a video game called Jedi Academy where you have a fight as Luke Skywalker or your character that you've created on these ships flying like this. And this is just really evocative of that to me. It's just that just struck me. And I love this. And of course, it's also kind of evocative of episode 2, you know? So
I love the fact that the driver is listening to music. And that's a classic thing, too. That's almost like an Indiana Jones sort of thing of, you know, something's going on, but the person is not aware of it. Or I just did my annual rewatch of Die Hard. And one of my favorite moments is when Powell's car is getting shot up and Argyle doesn't hear it because he's on the phone listening to music and drinking. Yep. And you see the car fly in the background. But even this is very big, too, is respecting the Star Wars rule of knowing your place and map. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm going through a real city and that I could potentially find my way through here if I had to.
Yeah, I agree. No, it does very much feel like a city that they have laid out and designed to give it this feel. And, you know, when you're going this fast as well, I think it's really interesting because it gives you a sense of how big this city is on this part of Pandora.
And even the cuts. It's the appropriate cuts. It's the appropriate. Yes. Sorry, we just had the Hunter hit the brakes, which is a classic callback to Return of the Jedi.
Yep.
Tuck and roll escape from a crash.
Well, I think you mentioned something there that's really important, and I think one of the things that Bad Batch really gets right is it's the editing cuts that they make. You know, the action is cut specifically to that Star Wars cadence that we're all so familiar with. So this show doesn't feel like it misses a beat when it comes to the way it's put together, which in Star Wars is actually so important when you're creating a show that is so linked with the classicness of Star Wars adventure stories, right? You know, this is meant to mirror and mimic everything that you got in the episodes, and this does that perfectly. Whereas something like an Andor is a completely different type of editing, right? But I can't give them enough praise for how well they edit this show.
Well, I also love, you know, you heard me giggle a moment ago, you know, that Wrecker's running and he's, oh, I'm missing all the action. Yeah. And then he runs back. He's like, I'm here. That like he's bummed that he didn't get to participate.
Yeah, he didn't really get to beat anybody up.
My favorite type of shot of a ship passing by is that slight, that slow roll tilt as it flies by the camera. It feels like you're just stepping a little bit out of the way so that the ship can fly by you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and again, that comes down to the editing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, just the shot composition itself is very, very important. Mm-hmm. It's that sweep by shot is really, really something. And that's, you know, that's why you can be a totally different medium like animation, and it still feels, you know, authentic.
What's great about this episode too is just how we're building the mystery with Omega, and like, who is it that sent the bounty hunter after her, and the fact that we're continuing to build mysteries about this character that this season is going to be answering. But there's also
the bounty hunter with honor. She doesn't shoot the spaceport guy. She still pays him and says, hey, you know, where to find me if you need me. So we immediately, that's what's very key as well, is the different types of villains. A mercenary doesn't need to be an absolute, a monster. Cad Bane is a mercenary, but so is Fennec Shand.
Right.
And we see that it's individuals that matter how far one is willing to go for the bounty, for the job.
Well, and I mean, in some senses, too, I think it would be so interesting just to kind of do a comparison over time of if you could, you know, how many people continue to want to work with somebody like Fennec Shand and how many people want to continue to work with somebody like a Cad Bane, right? Where Cad Bane's not afraid to burn the bridges, whereas you see Fennec Shand, she's willing to continue to build the bridges, right? And she's in this for herself and the money that she can make. But at the same time, she seems to realize, you know, maybe it's better if I keep people on my side than, you know, shoot them because they could be of use to me later on.
It's that sort of thing where it gives you room for the character to, it's an easier redemption. It's easier to want to watch a villain who has morals and limits on a week in, week out sort of thing, as opposed to somebody who is just has no, like, there's a place for the has no limits. There's a place for the Darth Vader or the Emperor.
Right.
But you need that variety of seeing somebody, and it gives you, I would argue that it gives you as an audience member the relief of knowing that even if Fennec Shand catches Omega, she's not going to hurt Omega.
Exactly.
So it causes less tension to put the child in danger because you know that there's a limit to what this person would do. Whereas, as we'll experience later in the season, Cad Bane getting involved, there's a lot more tension because you know that Bane doesn't have that limit that Fennec Shand does. Mm-hmm. And so it's an important counterpoint, I think.
Well, and I think what you just said ties into something that I was thinking is how well this episode and 25 minutes sets up who the character is of Fennec Shand as compared to the other bounty hunters that we've met so far in the series. You know, if you've watched The Clone Wars, if you've watched the original trilogy and the prequel trilogy and even Rebels, you have an idea of who these bounty hunters are, you know, and their personalities. This perfectly sets up her personality in juxtaposition to those others and sets her up as being her own character, which to me, I think is really exciting and really enjoyable, and becomes a character to which, with this introduction, I'm excited about actually getting more of this character now.
Yeah, same. And speaking of which, we'll set the stage for our next episode, which will be the commentary on Chapter 5. And if people want to reach out to you about this episode and this commentary in between, Matt, where can they reach you?
Yeah, of course, you could find me all over social media. I'm under the moniker MattRushing02. Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, Vero, any of those type of places you can find me. I'd love to be able to talk to you there. You can also find me here, of course, on the network. I did another show. It is a completed show with Dre Kaufman, where we talked about every single chapter of the Harry Potter series, one chapter at a time, on Owl Post. Over on the TFM network, I do a bunch of shows. One is called the 602 Club. John is a frequent guest over there. I hope you'll check it out. We talk about all of the fandoms we love, but we do get a chance to talk a lot of Star Wars. In fact, we just talked about Andor, season one, John, and that was an epic two-hour show. So if anybody's wanting to check out our thoughts, we highly encourage you to check that out. And, you know, we're going to continue to, once we finish our commentary series here, I'm sure we'll be diving into some of the other topics that Andor brought up as well. So don't worry. We're going to get to some more Andor conversations here on Aggressive Negotiations where we can aggressively negotiate on how good that show was. You can also find me doing Warp 5 about Star Trek Enterprise, The Orb about Star Trek Deep Space Nine, Literary Treks about the books and the comics of Star Trek. You can also find me over on Saddle Up about Star Trek Strange New Worlds and The Artificial Tango about Star Trek Picard. But John, maybe people want to, you know, catch up with you, see what's happening, what's hip and happening. Where can they find you?
Boy, you'll hear neither what's hip nor happening. However, you will hear me go off and on about different sorts of things as Kessel Junkie on your social network of choice, KesselJunkie. And you can find me here on this network co-hosting a show called House Lights, where we look at the work of directors through different sorts of criteria. As we record this, we are going through Sylvester Stallone's movies where he directed Rocky. So Rocky 2, Rocky 3, Rocky 4, Rocky Balboa, skipping the first one, which is, of course, an all-time classic, and skipping the supposed fifth one that exists. I don't know. I've heard of it. But
yeah, you know, it's there.
He didn't direct it, so we don't he didn't direct it, so we don't need to talk about it. So there you go. There you go.
Oh,
but yeah, that's where you can find me. You know, hey. But, you know, in the meantime, you can find me down at the gym ringing that bell for our next set of aggressive negotiations. Ding, ding. So this time, I'd say it's time to close negotiations.
John, negotiations are closed.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.